7:08. It's special guest time.
Yes, it is.
All hour long, in fact.
In studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tegan Broadwater joins us. He's a former Fort Worth police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And the book that he's put together, the book that he's written, is called Life in the Fishbowl. And Tegan's going to explain what that book's all about, what his role was with the Fort Worth Police Department.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating story of how I got, and Tegan, I guess I got to say it like this, of how a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Fort Worth police officer infiltrated the Crips. I mean, I know we're going to get into details, but this doesn't happen
that's
every day.
Looking at you, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Well, that was one of the more extraordinary facts that were pointed out to me by fellow officers and everybody after the fact was that they were just amazed that somebody that had the appearance that I did was able to get in there and infiltrate.
Do you remember the day they came to you? The Fort Worth Police Department came to you and said, hey, we want you to infiltrate the Crips. Do you remember that day?
No, there wasn't a day. It was actually my own little rogue idea anyway. So they probably would have told me it was impossible.
Yeah.
At the time, so.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, the image I have of the Crips in my mind,
mm-hmm.
Tegan doesn't quite fit that image.
No.
Does he? Do you?
I mean, are you serious?
Yeah. So if I throw up a sign, does it?
Oh, yeah, a little gang sign. Maybe that's what it is in every picture that you take. Yeah,
yeah,
you can do that. All right, so coming up here in just a couple of minutes, Al.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
We're going to learn how he infiltrated the Crips. Then we're going to learn exactly what the result of that infiltration was.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers that he's going to throw out?
Yes, sir.
Are astonishing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll do that next 7:10 at WBAP.
20 WBAP. Tegan Broadwater is in studio with us for the next hour, Hal.
All right.
Because this is a story that happened locally here mm-hmm. in Fort Worth that needs to be told. There's a brand new book that he's written, Life in the Fishbowl, the true story of how a white cop infiltrated and took down 41 of the nation's most notorious Crips. And it happened here in Fort Worth, and Tegan is here to tell the story for us.
Good to have you here, pal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And his beautiful bride, Holly, is with him as well.
Yeah. Tegan, let's start from the beginning. All right, so Life in the Fishbowl, what's the story about, essentially?
Basically, you take any metropolitan city, and they always have a crime-ridden area within it. And within Fort Worth's crime-ridden area, there was a specific 6-square-block area that was particularly gang-infested and very well organized, millions and millions of dollars of dope and guns going in and out of there. What ultimately happened was that we found out that law enforcement was unable to penetrate it with details and jump outs and raids and everything else because there was an information source from within the police department feeding these gang guys. So ultimately what I decided to do was just try to make the infiltration from the inside, figuring that was the only way that you could really blow something like that up.
For people listening, what part of Fort Worth are you liberties say?
This is at East Fort Worth.
East Fort Worth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you dub it the fishbowl. Is that what they call it? I mean, is it called that, or is that just a name you gave it?
No, it's actually a law enforcement term. We all called it the fishbowl. It basically has one way in and one way out. And they had lookouts set at each of those places. So anytime anybody entered, you were basically in a fishbowl. Everybody mm-hmm. knew you were there. It's what made it, you know, part of the difficulty of making any contact in there.
Now, you said that this was something you took on. That you weren't necessarily told, hey, we want you to infiltrate the Crips there in the fishbowl.
Right.
Did you just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to do this? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. I was actually having a conversation with an informant, and we were talking about the area and whether we thought there was even a chance, and we both thought it was nuts and looked at each other and said, yep, it's nuts, let's do it.
So you became, you started working on becoming a Crips gang member.
Well, no, I actually...
Did it just lead to that?
Well, my approach was a little different. I decided what I was going to do is come in and try to find out what is the motivator with guys like this.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in as a white guy. If you're selling dope and guns in mm-hmm. quantity, then you want to do business. So mm-hmm. my whole premise was that I was a mover and shaker dope dealer that had my source was busted by the feds over on the west side near TCU, and I was going to come over there and seek out a new source.
Mm. So you were a buyer then?
I was actually a dealer posing as somebody kind of trying to reestablish their business contact. So I actually started on the low level to try to get some samples and get some guys to take me up the ladder to introduce me to the bigger folks.
Okay. All right. So you were a dealer. So you were selling to them that they would in turn sell to others?
Well, what I was doing was trying to find a supplier.
Okay.
So I would I would purchase from them and test it out, per se, test the market. But they were selling lots of crack there on the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I didn't necessarily fit into profile-wise. So I would ask for the powder cocaine source and would buy from those guys small quantities of crack just to, you know, give them a little bit of cash in their pocket and thank them for helping me get to the guy that's got the stuff before it gets cooked down.
Any close calls? Any of those moments where, I've been caught?
Oh, absolutely. There was a handful of situations. The book opens up into one of the more significant situations where we were faced with a shotgun pointed at our face behind a burglar bar door, so we didn't have an opportunity to make any true evasive moves, and I had some people with me and everything else, but obviously it turned out well, but guns are a part of that gang culture.
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of assimilate yourself into the environment and pretend like you're used to seeing guns all the time, and it's no big deal.
Tegan Broadwater's with us. The book is Life in the Fishbowl. It's about a six-block area in Fort Worth. Tegan was a member of the Fort Worth Police Department. How long did this operation last? How long did this go on?
It was a year and a half long.
Okay.
And I was assigned to the FBI task force for the I'd say the last 6 or 7 months I was with the FBI task force, and they were able to give me a lot more resources and stuff. And, you know, when I started making larger buys using Fort Worth PD money, I was rolling up 100 ones and 620s on the outside and buying samples. You know, you've got to be creative with the resources you have.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Where did you get your drug money and drugs and guns? And so the police departments have that available to undercover.
Well, the cash certainly. And there were some creative ways in which I ended up kind of inserting myself by utilizing other buyers in the area that didn't know that I was actually undercover either. And I had developed so many relationships that I actually had some significant gangbangers that kind of had my back and were watching me to make sure I didn't get robbed and stuff like that. So that drew the attention of some other suppliers in the area, and they actually would make purchases and call it to me, and I would call in the orders for them on their behalf. And when they went in to make their purchases, whatever that they did, everybody else thought it was under the premise that T was sending them, which was me. So that kept their protection level going, and it kept my involvement at a greater scale.
You were just a commodities broker at that point.
That's right. Well, it kept me busy. I was down there every day of the week.
Yes.
But in this case, you know, when you have a couple other suppliers that are down there buying on supposedly on my behalf, then I'm down there 3-4 times a day, every day of the week.
So. Yeah. You said at the beginning, and we're going to go to news here in just a minute, but you said at the beginning that folks thought you were crazy, that your informant that you were dealing with thought you were crazy. It was probably was there a certain point in the operation where the Fort Worth Police Department started to take notice, and they started to say, you know what, this may just pay off?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what happened. The only reason that this really worked out is because of the fantastic supervisory work at the police department. I was spending lots of money and not making any arrests, and I had a sergeant that was out there that believed in me. I was a worker, so when I disappeared, he knew that I was working and not just screwing around, going eating, taking two-hour lunches. And the fact that he had my back and maintained support for month after month after month to the brass to let them know that this is actually going to turn out to be something productive was really what allowed this to happen. Everything else was done so much on the down low. There weren't reports on a regular basis being put into the system. We did everything we could to secret the entire operation.
They had to trust you. They had to trust you on this. Yeah. Hal, we got to get into the results of this. We'll do that in just a few minutes.
All right.
But we got to get into the results. The payoff for what Tegan did for that year and a half.
I want to ask Holly how'd she sleep at night.
Yeah,
how
did
I do for that year and a half?
Yeah.
So we'll do that coming up. 7:38, our very special guest is Tegan Broadwater, author of the book Life in the Fishbowl, about being undercover for the Fort Worth Police Department.
And you know what? We need to point this out. The proceeds from this book are benefiting a couple of charities, right? Am I right about this?
That's correct.
Yeah. Who benefits from this?
Hope Farms in Fort Worth, who actually services the area that was affected there by the operation in the book.
We know it and well. We're big fans, yes.
Yes, and Amachi is a program out of Pennsylvania that is U.S.-wide mm-hmm. that funnels their mentoring for children of incarcerated parents through the Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
And the reason you did that, and I was looking at the dedication at the very beginning, is because you didn't lose. We're going to talk in a minute about the result of your operation for a year and a half. But the net result, meaning what was left behind,
right.
is something that concerns you, right?
Absolutely. We had rounded up ultimately 51 Crips as part of the conspiracy, 41 of which went federally. And then ultimately left 104 children without a parent at that point.
Mm. 104.
Ooh, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And we talk about the circle of life too. The cycle that they gotta get they get caught up in.
Right. Well, ultimately we want to avoid the cyclical nature of what's going to happen. We don't want in 15 years somebody to have to do what I just did again in the same neighborhood, and right. that's part of what we experience all the time. We've got this big war on drugs and all these different things that are going on. And ultimately, if you can mentor these children that are left, teach them how to take care of themselves, pay bills, go to school and put priorities in the right place, and then ultimately even train some of them to be mentors. I mean, there's not going to be too many kids in the hood that want to listen to some white stiff like me tell them what they need to do.
Yeah.
But if you had somebody that came from the same neighborhood and made something of themselves and came back and said, look, I'm from this neighborhood. You can't tell me that this is impossible.
Yeah.
I think that would be remarkable, and if we did this more often in more areas, you would make a remarkable difference.
All right. Al, coming up.
Yep.
You cash all the chips in. Mm-hmm. It's a year and a half You're a year and a half in.
Yes.
Time to cash the chips in.
Okay.
What happens at the end of the operation?
Okay.
We'll get the details from Teagan Broadwater next.
7:51, 8:00, right here at the Big BAP. As we wind up an hour visiting with Teagan Broadwater, former undercover cop for the Fort Worth Police Department, and I was going to do that, you know, because
you were going to do that at one point.
Yeah.
Until
Jeff Halstead told me to go ahead and ease up on that.
Really? He wants you to back off.
He said
a little
back
bit.
Off that idea. You know, stick with radio.
Okay.
But anyway, and him and his wife Holly are in the studio with us.
And you had a question. You said you wanted to make sure that you
put 51 people in jail or prison or whatever they may be now.
Yes.
Do you wake up and go to your car and always look over your shoulder when you're getting in?
Well, we have things put in place, and like I said, the firm that I own now, Tactical Systems Network, we got plenty of those guys watching my back as well. But my family and I have had plenty of conversations, fairly candid conversations about how to watch ourselves.
And once again, the name of your company, if anybody out here listening wants to, hey, I need to talk about security here. What is it again?
Tactical Systems Network. We do executive protection and site security, armed security.
And it's here in Fort Worth. So 51 folks arrested. 41 of them, you said, went away fed, right?
That's correct.
Are any of those guys out now?
There are a few out, and most of them were cooperators because the length of the typical sentence in this particular operation was, 20 to 60 years in fed time. So there's going to be quite a bit of time. And most of the threats that we had immediately following this operation was from family members related to those that were incarcerated.
So Teagan Broadwater's with us. Life in the Fishbowl is the name of the book. And to recap real fast, a six-block area in Fort Worth, you're an undercover police officer posing as a drug dealer, drug supplier, I guess.
Right.
Drug buyer with the Crips gang there in Fort Worth. At the end of the operation, 18 months have gone by. Who makes the call that, it's time to cash in? We're going to cash in our chips.
The U.S. attorney made that decision for me.
Really?
Yeah. The U.S. attorney was kind enough to accept those 41 cases, which was fairly remarkable in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, look, this is where we have to cut this off. So we had probably 3 weeks to complete the case on our kingpin in that case and managed to do that. And that was the beginning of the end.
So you get the phone call. Okay, you got 3 weeks. Let's wrap it up.
Yes.
Wow.
People have a picture in their mind of what a gang is, what it looks like, what they do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a made-from-image TV program that they've seen, or I've seen, in fact. But gangs, are they a threat to the public, or are they a threat to themselves?
They're a threat to both. And I think they actually mirror the image that they see on TV as well. And you know, our kingpin in this case had actually transported out several of his gang members out to Compton with a source out there, and they used to train and do different things and bring them back into the city. So, you know, it's a fairly organized deal, but these guys also, you know, lots of people say, oh, they're just a wannabe gang and, you know, they're not whatever. These guys were very organized, and even the low-level scrubs that wanted to be something would go drive by and launch rounds into a house. So is that a public threat? I would say yes.
A couple of quick yes-no questions.
Okay.
One, did you find yourself liking any of the guys in the gang?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. There are plenty of guys that were outside of their sociopathic tendencies in the gang membership were dudes, and we talked about chicks and football, and we played Madden and shared 40s and whatever.
Yeah. You shared 40s?
I sure did.
Yeah. Did you have to share anything else?
No, didn't share anything else.
Okay. What's a shared 40?
40 is a beer, 40 ounce.
Yeah.
40-ounce beer drink.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you didn't have to.
Why would you know what that is?
Yeah, I know. white guy Hal over there.
What's a shared 40? Are you a member of a sportscaster gang?
Yeah, right. So you didn't have to necessarily dive right into the drug scene as a dealer.
I pretty much dove right into the drug scene. That was my in, was the drugs. I mean, we had guns and stuff involved along the way, but pretty much dove into the drug scene.
But do those dealers use?
The low-level dealers use.
Yeah.
The mid- and high-level dealers rarely, if ever, use.
Okay.
They're business guys. They're up at 6 a.m.
doing
business.
So they weren't pressing you to use in front of them then, necessarily?
No, I mean, a couple of them had brought it up, and I dismissed it. I wasn't the type of guy that wanted to appear as a cop and be too overambitious to make a buy happen or whatever.
Right.
So I could say no easily. And I was on parole anyway for an aggravated assault, and I had to pee in a cup. So, you know,
you
I don't
go.
Want to mess with any
right,
of that.
There you
so.
Go. It's been a great hour, great story.
Hey, do you have a website, Tegan? Give us a website.
Yeah, the fishbowl41.com is the website.
Okay.
And they can also go to Amazon and search for the book Life in the Fishbowl to purchase it. And again, those proceeds go to charities that mentor children with incarcerated parents. We'd appreciate
Hope Farms.
Yeah, Hope Farms.
You're close to that.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, and what's the name of the other one?
Amachi.
Amachi, yeah.
Amachi, all right.
Tegan Broadwater, thank you for the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for
being
here, guys.
Holly,
thanks for your service.
Right.